There's only one man who laughs like that, although I got to tell you, he doesn't sound like he normally does. He claims Cape Town made him ill. I don't believe Cape Town makes anybody ill, but we'll get into all of that. Bafana Modisi, spokesperson for the South African Friends of Israel, always such a pleasure having you with me here in studio.
Simon, welcome back. Welcome back. It's been a while since I've seen you, so it's good to see you back. I hope you're recovering well.
Oh, goodness. There I am looking at you thinking, what is he talking about? You're the one who went away, not me. And then I remembered, no way. Wait a minute. There's something to what the man is saying. Funny you forget what you don't want to remember. Isn't that interesting?
True.
You're not sounding great, I need to tell you. Cape Town certainly did its work on you. That Cape doctor was... You're clearly a Gauteng man. You clearly are not made for other places.
No, definitely. I'm not good with Europe. I went to Europe and or Tel Aviv, whatever you want to call it. And I got flu there.
You got flu there also.
And I got some idiot trying to take his luck on me. But thank God, Baruch Hashem, I'm still standing strong.
Yes, we just may get there if there is time. But the plan is to talk to you about something else, at least initially. So let's talk about that something else. Interesting IOL article today on various platforms talking about the fact that Pretoria has underestimated the economic and diplomatic fallout of its genocide case against Israel. I've got to tell you, I could have lived two lifetimes. I was never expecting to see a headline like that. Never expecting to see someone say, oops, maybe we miscalculated here. I thought this was absolutely calculated, and they were very aware of what they were doing. What's your take on the article and the arguments?
I think basically the ANC, I wouldn't say because this is an ANC policy, it was not necessarily a GNU move. This was way before GNU was that. And what you see, it is that they took this thing for international theater of politics, to posturing, to be this voice in terms of politics and global whatever. But then what they don't realize, it is that now they've attracted attention from America, and they've severed relations with most other countries that have issues with Iran, because everybody knows that Hezbollah, Hamas, Houthis, these are Iran projects, or what they call the axis of resistance. And how our country was caught up in that circle, it's very worrying as a nation to say, why is it that we now, we can be, as Herzog said, we might be seen as a proxy of Iran, because this war is far from our border. If it's about moral voice, why not Egypt? Why not an Arab state nearby? Why should it be a South African state? Right. So now we are literally now, we have relations, international relations, and Prince Mashele makes a point that in terms of global stage and alliances, we may have miscalculated this, because right now, as it seems, Iran did not do so well with this war. Then right now themselves, even themselves right now, they don't even have, they need more time to prove that there is a genocide. These are the people who rushed to the ICJ with a case to say it is a genocide. But once they are called to the show, what did they do? They said, give us more time. So clearly now they have delayed tactics. They don't have evidence. And now there's been more information that Hamas actually has been playing dirty. And they are the ones who are going to suffer. And South Africans themselves, because you can't be playing with global powers. Meanwhile, you can't even keep your lights out. Right now, you can't even deal with illegal immigration issues. You can't even deal with unemployment in your nation. So this was miscalculated, and we are going to be the losers at the end of it all.
But are we really? Because I haven't read the article. It's behind a paywall. Unfortunately, I couldn't get to see it. But I'm wondering whether it hasn't actually turned out in South Africa's favor, the moral conscience of the global South, the inheritors of the Mandela legacy fighting for human rights, wherever they may be. I understand the Americans would have an issue with the South African stance, and a serious one. I just look at the rest of the world and I wonder who else would say anything about anything. The Europeans certainly aren't going to do it unless it's very quietly behind the scenes. Do you really think that this comes to a cost to
but at some point, it comes to a point where if you really want to do that, why ignore your neighbors next door? Why do you ignore Zimbabwe? Congo, that has been happening for so many years. Why are you ignoring Sudan? That is actual genocide happening as we speak. If you really want to be this pan-Africanist moral voice of the world, we have over 50-something Muslim states that are just next to Gaza and Palestine. Why did they not see the problem that you claim to see? And why is it that today you don't even have enough evidence? You need more time to prove that evidence of your case. This was a mere political posturing in that disguise.
For who, Bafana? For the ANC, for its internal own electorate, for its constituents and allies overseas? Who were they posturing for and why?
No, they were posturing to the world to be seen as this moral voice of the world. But who celebrated it? It was Iran. So clearly this was a launching pad for Iran in terms of global politics. And South Africa was used in the process. I don't think that ANC as we know it will just jump the whole continent and go and defend a war that is so far from our country. So clearly the person who is the country that is a very much central to this war is Iran. And therefore, who celebrated this issue? It was Iran celebrating the ANC's voice, not Africa as a whole. Because Africa, as you speak, it has more issues that the ANC could have taken and could have made our continent better. But why an Arab state in the Middle East? Why not us in Africa?
Yeah, it's absolutely fascinating how this all sort of transpired and rolled out. To me, the biggest shame is, I think the biggest gift that we had to bring to the Middle East was our example ourselves of how we spoke about reconciliation, how we got people with very different opinions around a table and arrived at some sort of a consensus. But with the ANC's position, there was no reason. I mean, they cannot be a mediator in this conflict. They've got nothing to bring.
Definitely.
Bit of a lost opportunity, don't you think?
I mean, when you have a whole president coming out just 10 days after the war starts and already pledged support for Hamas, it should worry you. Immediately when you have a minister who travels to Iran within days, or even calls Hamas from her office, Naledi Pandor at the time, it should show you that this is more than just solidarity. This is more than just, this was some sort of a plan or a coordinated effort between Iran and the comrades. So therefore, we cannot just say to them, oh, they're just nice people who care about Palestine. Why is it that Cyril never went to Israel? Why is it that none of the ANC cadres, before they took this case, they never consulted with the leaders of this country, as Dalinkebo said, the King Dalinkebo in Eastern Cape? Why did you not consult with stakeholders before you take such a big stage in the world to defend a war that is not even in the continent? Secondly, let's just be honest around this issue. We are not really speaking for peace here. We are literally supporting people who are pushing aggression. There are many Palestinians who want peace, but we did not go with the spirit of bringing people together, unity. We literally went there on the side of people who literally killed 1,200 people and took hostages. And we want to say, by us defending and justifying terrorism, it's us actually speaking for reconciliation. It's in contradiction with Mandela's policy. Mandela would have went to Gaza and went to Palestine and went to Israel and spoke and find a way to bring the three people together. 100%. And if that's what they wanted to be seen as, they could have done that. They could have spoken to Israelis, Palestinians, Gaza, and whatever stakeholders are there. Why were they left out in Egypt when now a solution was being kept for this issue? Because they are not seen as role players, as key players. They were not in the room.
Yeah.
World leaders were there trying to fix an issue in Gaza. So I cannot then say what we went in this for was really for a good cause. We are just playing bidding for Iran. And sadly right now, the America is on to us, and other Western countries and other Arab states which are not friends with Iran are looking at us very funny. Saudi Arabia, the Gulf, which were literally the victims of Iran during this war.
And yet I see absolutely no signs anywhere of a softening or a walking back of this very extreme position taken by the ANC. I don't see it. Do you foresee something like that perhaps happening?
I mean, I think what they try to do right now by delaying the case, I mean, if they knew there was genocide, they wouldn't have asked for more time to present their case. So clearly they don't have a case, or maybe they are trying to delay it until it disappears into the future. We'll just have to see if they will, after a year and 6 months, have evidence to prove this. But maybe by then they won't be in government, so it won't be an issue. So we just have to see. But we always say we need to find a way that we can have leaders who really go into conflicts and want to resolve and become a a voice of unity. We can't have leaders going to conflicts and picking sides. And at the cost of it, it's our country, it's our nation, it's our people who are going to be a problem now. When you go to America now, you are seen as coming from an enemy country. For what? For a case that has nothing to do with our South Africans.
Interesting. Interesting. I'm looking at the time. I've got about 3-4 minutes left with you. I know you haven't prepared for this, and I'm springing it on you. But I would very much like to talk about what happened in Cape Town last week. There was certain videos doing the rounds outside the court.
Yeah.
A bit of drama. Where are you in this issue? And just tell us.
I mean, sometimes we do things in this life because we believe in the cause. And I took a flight here to go and defend jobs. The PAC is trying to boycott Cape Union Mart. And in this quest of them, they're not even thinking about the jobs that may be lost if the Krawitz family can shut down business and say we move into Israel. They're not even thinking about the cost of this. They just want to push their agenda of demonizing a Jewish businessman and a man who's a Jew who loves Israel. Right. And what you are saying is that they have no consideration of South Africans. So we went there with our people protesting outside the Western Cape High Court. Sadly, there was a journalist, or a so-called journalist, who came to this march, who was shoving his camera in people's faces. Mm. And we spoke to him and even spoke to the police about it. Well, this man is not taking photos like we know. He's going to people's faces. People are intimidated. They're covering their face with boxes now. Yeah. It's bullying. And then once I spoke to the police, he was asked to take out his card. He took out his card, which was Muslim Views. I think that's the company. And we asked him, take photos normally. For some reason, he decided that now he's targeting Bafana. So now while I'm protesting and screaming, he's shoving his camera on my face. If you can look at the video, I held a flag on my face, trying to cover my face from him. And he came on the other side, and I tried to cover my face with my hand until I fended him off.
And the police are watching all this and doing that?
Yes. So I fend him off my face. He falls like a baby on the ground. He assaulted me. I'm a journalist. How can you do this to me? I'm like, I'm not trying to hit you. I'm not trying to, I'm not doing this violently. I'm just trying to do my work. There is journalists everywhere here. They are taking photos. You are the only one that people are complaining about because you are trying to intimidate them. Mm. You are pushing your cameras on your face.
Yeah.
And then this thing became an issue. My name has been trashed on social media, and I've been through a lot for the past couple of days. But, you know, I'm a soldier. I'm a warrior. And I stand for what I believe in. I never cower. So I'm still standing.
You definitely are. And once again, I'm sitting listening to you and nothing but respect, Bafana, for what it is that you do. Honestly, it's pretty astounding.